I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The New Normal. I'm Deborah Frances White. We are The Guilty Feminist, and my doorbell's just rung. Just one second. Tom Selinski, can you please get the door? Thank you. I'm on television. This is how television's made now. This is exactly what happens when Graham Norton's making his show or John Oliver's making his show. The doorbell rings and they just ride it out. They just handle it. That's how it goes. Hello, hello. I am going to be joined very soon by Amica George. Let me see if she's there. Maybe it's her at the door. Amica George seems to be there, and she'll be joining us in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There she is.
It's Amica. Hey. Oh, God.
Hello, Amica. Welcome to The New Normal, The Guilty Feminist show about life and feminism in lockdown. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, this is The New Normal is the best name for this, by the way, because like, it's weird how quickly we've all adapted to the fact that every time I go on Instagram and I see notifications saying like a million people have gone live, I know it's on the hour. It's like 6 p.m. exactly because everyone's doing lives. But yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. How the hell are you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I think it's now been like a long enough time for everyone to kind of have adjusted. So I feel quite settled in the new normal, and it's weird being back kind of in my family unit. I've been saying to my friends, and I think they agree, that everyone feels a lot younger almost because we've had like a year and a half of university and independence and like doing your own thing, and then all of a sudden I feel like I'm back in secondary school and like relying on my parents for meal times, and like everyone's just getting on top of each other a bit, but I'm good. Yeah,
it's interesting. Yes, that's interesting. Of course, if a lot of millennials and Gen Zs live at home, you're Gen Z, aren't you?
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, you go back. It's quite infantilizing, really, isn't it? Because you're suddenly in your parents' home and you can't go out. So it does evoke secondary school a bit.
Exactly.
It's not your parents telling you to stay in; it's the government.
Yeah, it's slightly bigger force that you can't really reckon with. But yeah, it's a weird kind of like mental adjustment. But then I think there's also a lot of kind of solidarity in the fact that everyone's doing it and everyone's
That's so true.
In it together.
We're all
so
in the same boat.
Exactly. There's no FOMO because it's not
no
like all your
FOMO.
Friends are going to the pub and you're missing out. We're all kind of stuck at home together, so it makes it more reassuring.
It's true. A friend of mine has a newborn baby and she was saying, oh, I'm really recalibrating and, you know, I'm really, you know, trying to refind myself. And I was like, this is the best time to be doing that because the whole world is doing that. And there is no FOMO. It's not like you've got this newborn baby. Everyone else is out in a bar and you're seeing them all on Instagram and you're thinking, oh my God, they didn't even think to ask me.
You know, I know.
At least, I mean, if you're going to have a newborn baby, which is always difficult.
Yeah.
This is the time. Not, I'm not suggesting that for you, Amica.
I mean, I would be up for it. Why not? my auntie's actually just had a baby about a week ago. And I was talking to her about it. And she's just saying it's the strangest kind of environment to bring a baby into. It's a really, I can imagine it being a really difficult kind of thing to deal with. Just thinking about bringing a baby into the world when the world is so weird and uncertain and no one really knows what's going on. But in a lot of ways, it's quite safe in that there is this protection of home and family, and there's not hundreds of people trying to see the baby or like stop you in the street and all of
that's
this.
True. Yeah, there it's are quite... so many different. Yeah, it must be just a very weird time though to be. You know, you also can't have people coming over to give you an hour off or to
exactly
have cups of tea with you.
So in a way, it's kind of a good thing, but it's going to be a strange generation. I read somewhere that they're going to be called Generation C, which I don't think is. I don't think they should really be defined by the virus, but the new generation.
Oh, like C for Corona.
Yeah, ooh. Like they'll be the next generation of, that are brought into the world, and this will be their version of normality, which is really strange.
I mean, it will be for a while. It may not if in a year's time, like we are completely beyond this, and there's there's a vaccine, then
yeah.
Then I don't think it'll define their whole childhood. I think it'll be one thing. I hope it doesn't.
I know. I feel like the conversation everyone's been having at the moment is like, how long is it going to last? When do you think the vaccine's going to be? It's like, no one has any scientific basis, but everyone has some kind of...
I know, theory.
Theory, based on hope, I think, based on what they want.
Based on hope, indeed. And based on whether you're a glass half full or a glass half empty.
True, definitely,
type of person,
yeah.
If you're a corona half full or half empty. But I'm thinking a year we'll have a vaccine. And I think...
Yeah.
I don't know. As you say, why are we speculating? Has this crisis given you any new I'm a Feminist Barts?
I was thinking about this and then I was like trying to think of one and I looked on my phone and I realised that I'd last night before going to bed, I'd put a note, like a reminder on my phone that just said in capital letters, tweeze, to remind myself to tweeze my eyebrows before this live stream, which
God, is... God, I haven't done mine, but I've put my reading glasses on because it helps with the screen.
Yeah.
And actually I have, because yesterday I did my makeup and hair for the first time because I had to make a fancy video. And
oh, wow.
I felt so much more like myself, but I have not, I'm on a scripted and I have not done it for today and my eyebrows badly need tweezing.
I mean, it's such a strange thing because you think about how normal it is to just like make sure that you look kind of, yeah, tweezed. But then as soon as you don't have any reason to, you just let it go. So then you realise that if you had the choice, you probably wouldn't, you know? It's the patriarchy telling us to tweeze our eyebrows.
I oscillate on this because I also think it's very human to decorate. And we are decorative creatures. Like we decorate our homes. A small child will want to decorate their pencil case. So I
True,
think we
yeah.
are decorators. People love lipstick and tattoos and you know, changing our hair. And I think grooming is part of that. But it is true that part of that is our self-expression. So if we're not going out of the house, I know who I am. But when I go out of the house, I want to carry some of that forward out into the world so other people know who I am. And
yeah.
I think... That's why tattoos have become so popular, and I'm not a tattoo person. Do you have a tattoo, Amika?
No, I don't. I think I'm scared of the permanence. I don't think I'm the kind of person. I'm not very committed person. So I don't think I could commit to something on my body. As in, I'd like it today and hate it tomorrow. So I don't know if I could commit.
I agree because and anything that seems good today. You know what? I know people who've got 20-year-old tattoos of Chinese symbols and our feelings about that have completely changed,
exactly.
But they got it in Bali on a holiday.
And then they realised that it means nothing near what they thought it would
nothing
be.
Nothing what they thought. And then now they're feeling like, have I got cultural appropriation on my back? And, you know, etc.
Exactly. Yeah. It's tricky.
I mean, I like Scarlett Curtis's tattoos, but she said she's got a tattoo that says tea. And she said, because I know my feelings are never going to change about tea.
Yeah. I think I feel the same way about tea, actually. I probably would. I could get, like, oat milk.
Well, no, you can't get oat milk because then it'll come out that oat milk's the worst thing for
the environment.
The worst
thing ever for you. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, or whatever. I think I could probably get the Guilty Feminist on my ankle or something like that. Like
yeah, I think you can definitely
feminist.
Get the Guilty Feminist. That's not something that's going to become problematic or something that you dislike in the future.
I mean, you never know.
Cancellation
is periods. Only a day away.
Yeah. Imagine if I got periods or like period poverty, and that'd be a bit weird. But
I think it is what you're most known for now. But when you're 48, you may not. Want that to that may not be your defining, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hope not. The period guy. I've been referred to so many times at uni by students, and an academic came up to me and said, "Oh, I know who you are. You're the period lady." No, she said that you're the tampon lady.
Wow.
Which was odd. I was like, wow, never been referred to that before, but thanks.
I mean, it turns out you have, but just behind your back.
Exactly.
Have you got any coping strategies for staying emotionally and mentally stable during this time? And it's okay to say no. I've been up and down and all over the shop, but have you got anything you could share that's working for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely struggled in the first couple of weeks more when it was just like the weird period of adjustment and I didn't really know what was going on. And like I said, being back at home, I'm really lucky that, you know, my family are all healthy and we all get on well, but it is definitely a weird kind of mental adjustment. And I think the thing that helped me to kind of adjust that more than anything was just accepting that every day was going to be really different. And I mean, I'm just like very kind of crazy about organization and like making sure I'm on top of the things I need to be. So literally every night I will make a to-do list for the next day. And every evening I would feel disappointed that I hadn't achieved it or I hadn't like done all the things or got all the things I wanted to do done. Mm-hmm. And then the second that I realized that was actually so unproductive and just unhelpful for mental health and everything else, I just forgot about it. Now I've stopped making the to-do list. I think that really helps. And I also think just accepting that every day is going to be super different. Like some days you're going to wake up and you're going to be super motivated and you're going to want to do stuff, and then some days you're just going to want to watch Netflix, and like accepting that that's fine just really helps me to just like relax a bit more.
I think that's great advice, because in real life, in our former life, there were times when you'd work really hard on the day, but then you'd go out in the evening and blow off some steam with some friends. And then you'd have a lie-in, and then you'd, you know, you'd go to the gym and you'd get some energy that way. And there were all sorts of things we did that we now can't do. So hello. I'm just trying to get rid of this. There's some men's rights activists, I think, who have found us. And so it's never happened before, but except one day someone was very queerphobic. Oh, here we go. They've all come around. So I'm just hiding it from it all. So every time one of them comes on, oh, there's another one. Oh, they're like,
they don't have very original phrases, do they?
No. Someone's saying hello, the trolls. Don't feed the trolls, folks. No, I'm not feeding them. I'm just getting rid of them. But they must have decided to all gang up on us today, Emeka. I'm really sorry.
That's fine,
they found us and they've come for your day.
That's okay. Welcome.
Now somebody's saying they're like lice, but I don't know if they're talking about the trolls or us. It's hard. stupid bots, I'd say. Oh, ignore people are saying. Okay, well, we'll ignore it. If any more come up and I can quickly get rid of them,
that's
I will.
That's fine. I'm just going to ignore them.
Okay, all right. So, yes, that's a really good, it's a really good note that when you're feeling productive, feel free to produce. When you're feeling like you need a rest, understand that in your real life, you have lots more dynamics to choose from, and therefore you're doing those things naturally. okay, so we're reading some of this is fascinating. If you're watching this on YouTube, you probably won't be able to see what we can see because it comes up at a different time. So
be grateful.
Absolutely. Somebody's here saying, I really love your campaigning, Emeka. We did about period poverty, and I didn't realize how little some people know about periods. A boy in my class after girls waddle like a duck on their periods. Well, I'm glad you were able to educate them, and I agree, Emeka, you're doing phenomenal work. Can I ask you, is there anything you're doing that you can only do online now because you can't get out of the house in the same way, that's a feminist project that we could get behind or help with?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, generally the kind of free periods in the campaign has always been only online, and I always kind of say I wouldn't have been able to do it if it hadn't been for the internet, because that's what enabled me as like I started when I was 17 and I was in school, and I would
warn me her internet might be a bit dodgy. So I told her, she's back. Yep, you cut out for a bit. So you started at 17 at school, so that's what was available to you then, and so that's what you're used to.
Exactly. So my first thought when I read about period poverty, which is girls in the UK having to miss school because they couldn't afford pads and tampons, when I read about that, my first thought kind of intuitively was to put it on my Instagram or send it to my friends on a WhatsApp group or even email it. I wouldn't have really had those Hi, can you hear me?
I can count them. Yes.
So if it hadn't been for the internet, I wouldn't have been able to achieve those things. So I'm lucky that even though I was kind of at school doing exams, I was still able to keep it up and use social media to encourage other people to keep it up. And then everything, all the change that was made was the kind of community that was built around free periods was all virtual. It was all people putting the link to the petition in their Instagram bios, in their posting it on Twitter, getting celebrities and influencers to help. That's how you were at the protest that we did about 3 years ago, and that's how we got all those people there. It was solely through the internet, and everyone was there because they'd seen a tweet or an Instagram post or got an email. So I think that's testament to the power of the internet, and that's the kind of activism that will hopefully kind of see a resurgence now that we're all stuck inside and have a lot of time on our hands. Maybe now is the best time. If you've ever thought about kind of becoming an activist and making some kind of change, this is the best time to do it, because you have all the tools. The internet, I think, is the only tool that we really need at the moment. And you need people, you need that support network and community. And I think a lot of people will devalue the power of online activism and think that it's just numbers or it's just signatures on a petition and it's not actually making change. But as a result of the kind of the 300,000 people who signed the Free Periods petition and the millions of people who have engaged with it online, as a result of that, the government changed their policy. And as of now, as of January of 2020, there are free menstrual products in all schools and colleges in the country. And so that's testament to the power of online activism. So I don't think it should be discredited or devalued in any way.
I absolutely agree. And what I love is that it gave someone like you, who's 17 years of age, the power to start it and start that ball rolling. And I remember when Scarlett messaged me and said, I've met someone called Erica George, and could she come on The Guilty Feminist? And you came on and talked about your live protest. But you then got up so much head of steam through the online stuff that when we went and stood in the street in front of the House of Commons, you had a following. And you could not have built that following when I was 17. It's just not, wouldn't have been possible, but you can reach so many different people. So you're so right about that. And this is a great time for us to be doing online feminism. Is there something we can help you with that we can get behind, that if you make a story of today, that we can donate to or champion, follow, retweet, get involved in?
Yeah. I've kind of been encouraging people to donate to Bloody Good Period and Beauty Banks, because they're providing, so Free Periods is a kind of campaign, but we work with other charities who actually do the work in providing the products to the people who need them, but the government haven't kind of provided for in the way that they have in schools. So I've been encouraging people to donate there. As well as that, we ran a campaign in September called Free Period Stories, encouraging people to post videos online of them telling any kind of period story, awkward or funny or meaningful, or even one that had a kind of bad ending that at the time you thought was really horrendous and scarring. But looking back, everyone has a story. Everyone has something that happened to them related to their period. So I'm still kind of encouraging people to post those online, just to kind of break that stigma, because we've all been told, I was definitely told subconsciously and very explicitly from a young age, that actually, you know, periods are disgusting and you've got to be quiet about them, and you know, you've got to shove a tampon up your sleeve and all of this. But actually, I think as the feminist movement moves forward and we're all thinking about dismantling these structures in our minds, we're realizing that actually periods are just a facet of the
regular bodily function.
Yeah. And because you know, they happen to half of the population, and that they happen to happen to the half of the population that are so oppressed, we can't talk about them in the way that, I remember you saying in your speech, Deborah, that if men had periods, you know, they'd shout about them all the time, and we definitely have free products. And obviously I completely agree with that, and I think we need to dismantle this idea that they're just so stigmatized and taboo, and young children shouldn't be brought up with the idea or the assumption that actually, you know, I'm just gonna not tell anyone. Some of my friends didn't tell their mums about their period for 6 months after starting.
Wow.
Which
we've got to get rid of that shame and that stigma. So we can help by amplifying, following, donating if we have the cash to Bloody Good Period, but giving them a follow and retweeting, amplifying them, forwarding their details to someone who can afford it if we can't is a really big deal. And maybe this is a good time as well to talk to the young people in our families about periods, both girls and boys, and non-binary teens in our lives. About periods, and as you say, you know, sharing those stories of our worst period moment can really help. So if we can copy in free period to any stories we've got, funny stories about our periods, the worst time, you know, something really embarrassing happened, or a time where we thought, actually, I don't have to be embarrassed, whatever it is, and if we could put that on and we copy in at free period.
At free periods with an S, The other thing I should mention is that so the government scheme to provide products for free in schools started in January, but obviously all schools and colleges are closed now. But if you are someone who still needs those products, if you get in touch with your school, they're still able to order the products through PHS, and they can be delivered to either your own school or a school, local school to you, and you can pick them up from there. So hopefully, that was one of my biggest worries when I heard that schools were closing, that so many children who were reliant on the government's support who are now unaccounted for.
So Lexi was actually just asking on this exactly that. How do you get hold of those products if you were reliant on them and you're now at home? And the answer is you phone your school, and if when you're out on your daily exercise walk or your shopping trip or whatever, you can pop into your school. Will the schools be open to receive?
They had a monthly delivery of the products anyway, so that will continue as normal. So
great.
The best thing is to talk openly. I think that's obviously another facet of the stigma, that it's hard to kind of break that wall and say to the school that you need the products. But obviously now it's more essential than ever.
Great. Somebody called Ali here says, I'm a feminist, but I haven't used my moon cup because I need to boil it on the stove to sterilise it, and I really hate cooking. Fair.
I wouldn't call it cooking, but...
Fair, absolutely fair. So Kent, so if you make stories of those things after this and at the Guilty Feminist, I will share them and we can do a swipe up. If everyone can follow Free Periods here and on Twitter, that would be fantastic.
Amazing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And have you got any feminist or escapist books, films, or television shows that we should know about that you've been consuming while locked in?
Oh, I don't know how feminist they are.
They can be feminist, or they can be escapist, or they could just be things you like. This is about life and feminism in lockdown.
Cool. And guilty feminism.
Yes.
So I finished Unorthodox yesterday. I feel like everyone's talking about it.
Oh, so good. Yeah, really so many good. People have recommended that.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend that. I'm a big fan of the American comedy show Veep.
Yes.
Watch that.
I have. I've watched it all. But I mean, it's hard for it now to be as ludicrous as actual American politics. They did say towards the end, spoofing was really happening in America. Like if they'd had the president recommend everyone drink bleach to get rid of COVID and then pretend he was being sarcastic, you'd think too much, too far, wouldn't you?
Exactly. And now it's just the lines of sitcom and reality are just blurred.
It's just another day.
In terms of a book, I read God of Small Things by Arundhati Roy, which is obviously like quite a famous, like a well-known book. But she is actually from where I'm from in South India. And it's set really close to where like my great-grandparents, when one of my great-grandparents lived. And so I felt really personally connected to that and enjoyed that a lot. And then I also have been reading history, because I'm at university and have exams soon.
Are you going to have to do your Cambridge exams from home? Are you going to do them open book?
Yeah, so they're open. I've actually got a pretty good deal comparatively with other subjects, but we have 24 hours to do two essays and it's all open book and online. So it's pretty good.
I wish I'd had that. I would have done, done better than I did.
But I know, it's a pretty lucky escape.
Kind of, but in another way, it's fun to all go in together and come out and say, how did it go? And have your, you know, go then go punting and drink cider in Cambridge. And as it is, you're just like sitting at home locked in doing exams on your own.
So, I know, I don't know how anyone will celebrate when it's over. There's a really, you must have this at Oxford, but a really extravagant like celebration of everyone throwing champagne over each other, which is probably quite sad if you do that to yourself in isolation.
Yeah, I think shaking up a bottle of champagne and spraying it over yourself, I suppose if you're all on Facebook, but you know what I mean? Like I'm like, or on FaceTime rather, but I'm like, someone here is saying open book exams are tougher because they expect more. No pressure, Amica.
Thanks for that. But I did think
people are saying they're more difficult because people are expecting more. Okay, but I feel like Amica's so clever, she is not going to have any problem.
No. My friends Ben and Grace are there and say hi. So, hey, Ben and Grace.
Hey. Can I ask, is there a dark thought or low moment that you've had that you wouldn't mind sharing? Because we ask this every day because people are very keen to share, understandably, because we're human. They're most fun moments when they're recreating a scene from Pulp Fiction or having a toga party with a bourbon theme. But when you're really feeling low, of course you're not sharing that with the world, understandably, and it makes everyone feel so much calmer when they hear that other people, maybe people they look up to or admire or have enjoyed their work or something like that, feels really desperate. Did you have a time in the first couple of weeks, or have you had a moment of going, oh my god, how long is this going to go on, and felt very low?
Definitely. I think, like I was saying, every day has been really different, and there are days when I just wake up and I'm just kind of completely confused. I think I was talking about this with a friend yesterday, that the news has just become like a really, I don't know, I've just developed quite a toxic relationship with the news, in that it can become really addictive to just like scroll through the news or like go on the Guardian live updates, and all you're seeing, I mean, I think it's changed now compared to with the beginning of the lockdown, but the beginning of Corona, all it was just an increasing death toll, and that's all you were seeing, and it becomes quite kind of compelling. Like I'm seeing people in the comments saying that they're also having to stop watching the news because I think it's just, it can be addictive but not helpful, because all it says a lot of the time is just that the situation is deteriorating, and that's not always what you want to hear. But at the same time, there is a lot of good news out there, so I'm trying to redirect my energies. And a low moment, I would say, yesterday I went to see my grandma, kind of I stood on the pavement and she was at her doorstep. And I was quite surprised, she lives on her own, and I was quite surprised that she seemed to be taking things in her stride. She was, you know, quite chilled out about everything, and like she didn't seem very, she was kind of blasé, like surprisingly. And then when I was saying bye to her, I was with my dad, and we kind of like started walking back towards the car. And it was just like this collective feeling, the three of us, that every single time oh my God, my TV's just turned on, sorry.
Don't worry, I will bask.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. The robot's taking over. It's very clear.
Yeah. So yeah, like every, I've, you know, used to visit her every single weekend, and we'd always just kind of, as a matter of instinct, end by just giving each other a hug or a kiss, and then not being able to do that, just like really, that was for me the first realization of how weird the world is. Like, you know, all these years, just normal interaction has just been completely transformed. So that was the moment that she kind of like broke down, and then my dad broke down, and I cried, and it was all just like a bit intense. But I think when you, I think things like that make you realize that when it's all over, like that first hug with anyone, your friends or family, is just going to be a lot better, hopefully.
Yeah, it really will. I'm really looking forward to hugging my mum as well.
Yeah.
Oof. Do you have any hope for humanity, renewed hope for humanity as a Gen Z from this, that maybe we'll learn something as a human race?
Definitely. I mean, I think, I mean, I'd hope that we'll value people and value the time that we spend with the people in our lives, and in a different way, just kind of hopefully when we're together, people won't be on their phones so much or distracted. You'll just value, it sounds so, so cheesy, but just being like in the moment and not thinking about, not overthinking things or trying to plan ahead obsessively, I think will hopefully change. I've been talking also to my mum a lot about people's relationship with food and how potentially we'll kind of eat out less and like eat healthier or make our own food a lot of the time, because we've realized that it's actually really easy and sustainable and cheap and
also we'll shop locally, I think, more. That's what Phoebe Waller-Briggs's New Normal, which came out as a podcast today on the Guilty Feminist feed, it was like a Guilty Feminist New Normal crossover, and she said she'd been shopping at her local shop and going, okay, well, what they've got is a cauliflower, I have to be creative with that. Yeah. And instead of going to the big Sainsbury's and having exactly what you want, making do with what is close and local and getting to know the people in the local shop. And I think that's a really nice that will get us back to sustainability and in a much more quickly than anything else. That if we're sort of ludicrously shipping mangoes around the world in the middle of winter, our time.
Exactly.
I mean, it's
generally the environmental impacts that, like, so fast we've seen, you know, from just the fact that flights were stopped, that's had such a huge impact. So, and, you know, no one's hugely suffering from the fact that, you know, we can't go on summer holidays, for example. So I think it's just like, again, just showing like an alternate reality is really important, and hopefully will change just the way that we, even if it doesn't massively change our actions, just the way that we think about things. What about you? Do you have any
I'm hopeful that this will build empathy for people, in people, for refugees and other people who've had, like, you know, people who are running from war or something else, that people will now be able to imagine this happening to them and it not being their fault, and going, yeah, you know, some people are in a police state and they can never leave the house and we have to fight for their rights.
100%.
And, you know, so, like, it just building empathy in a community that has really very infrequently had civil liberties taken away on this scale. Also building empathy in white people for people of color who are always treated worse by the police and always with more suspicion by the judicial system. Like, understanding, you know, if you're now going to go for a walk in a park, a police officer might shout at you. So I'm hoping that the bridges being built, like, we do need to be staying indoors, we do need to be not loitering and sunbathing in parks, all of those things. But it's just, I hope, building empathetic pathways. There's a brilliant article that Steve Alley wrote for the British GQ about the parallels between being a refugee and going into lockdown because of COVID, and how unexpected it is and how you have to adapt to change very quickly. And I really love it because it puts the refugees into a sort of power position of, look, we've done all this, we've been here, we know how to adapt, this is new for you. But also it's very empathy building, that when you read it, you go, yeah, I'm feeling like that. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, no. And this is what I can learn. But also it makes you go, look, if there was a really, suddenly the strain of COVID in the UK became much more dangerous than anything on the continent, and you could leave if you tested and you were okay and you could leave and your chances of dying here were very high, people would leave. People would just go. They would go, you know. I'm hopeful for that. Are there any habits that you've developed in this time that you might take through, or you think human beings might take through?
Ooh, I mean, I was so, yeah, like touched and reassured by when it kind of, I'm so lucky, but when it first all kind of happened, how many people were just, a lot of my friends and family just checking in on each other, making sure that everyone's okay. Like, I don't think it's the most incredible thing going forward, but just how virtual communication has meant that everyone's continued, stayed connected. And like we were saying before, this is still, there's, even though it's such a horrific situation and everyone's really going through it, there is this feeling of collectivity and everyone being in it together in solidarity. And I think that the fact that the internet's allowed us to continue to maintain those human connections is what's kind of sustaining everyone. So I think, like you said, with empathy going forward, you know, whether we're in a pandemic or not, just checking in with people and making sure they're okay. I found it so funny how at the beginning, like, this never really happened before, but at the beginning of emails and like even text messages and everything, everyone will say, you know, like, I hope you're okay, I hope your family are well, well and healthy and safe. Nobody was that nice on email before. Nobody was as kind of empathetic and genuinely concerned. Like, it doesn't feel like everyone's just saying that for the sake of it. It's just kind of people care now. Not that they didn't before, but I think there is just like this heightened awareness that someone you're talking to could be going through something awful.
Yeah, our empathy's really been activated, I think. We've sort of started to go, oh, and our it just our normal has been shifted, and we're not just charging around thinking about ourselves.
Yeah.
Doing. We've stepped back and we're being a little bit more. Do you have anything else, anything in your house that you would like to show us? Any free period stuff or any pets?
Any hats? Oh my God.
Anything fun you want to show us? You do not have to.
So I would, but I'm in my parents' room at the moment because it's the strongest Wi-Fi connection. And I think they would kill me for sharing whatever.
No, that's fine. You can show us something on the stories. Make a story of something you've got.
I am actually reading this book that I'm using as a rest. So I could show, I'm using two good books as rest.
Excellent.
Let me get them. It means that I'll lose. Okay, so this book I read, like a year and a half ago, but would really recommend, I don't know if you've read it, Hillbilly Elegy.
Nice, I have that.
Incredible book. This book is like a kind of history book, but also I recommend if you're not that interested in history, called Inglourious, I feel like a YouTuber or something.
No, you love it.
It's called Inglourious Empire by a historian called Shashi Tharoor.
Wonderful.
And he did an amazing talk at the Oxford Union a few years ago. And it was a debate about whether Britain owes reparations to former colonies. And he did this speech that was just incredible and went completely viral. Then he turned it into a book. And yeah, it's like will completely change everything you thought about empire and just like the extent of damage and like the existing impact.
Wonderful.
So I'd really recommend that. This book, I don't know why, because I'm going to really embarrass my mum, but I got sent this book a few months ago with absolutely no explanation. Like, it didn't have, I mean, I assume it's from the author, but there was no note. There was no, like, a lot of the time I'll get like sent a book and asked to tweet about it or something. This is called The Pelvic Floor Bible.
Oh, I got sent that too. Yeah. That got sent to all feminists. All feminists so, immediately got that. Any feminist with an audience got sent that. Yeah.
So maybe
I have not yet done my pelvic floor Bible, and I probably
me neither. Should. But now's the best time, so maybe I should.
To make you feel more like a YouTuber, people are asking to see your earrings and find out where they're from. Can we see your earrings?
These are my earrings. Oh my God, where are they from? This is kind of a relatively funny story about these earrings is that I lost them. They were from Topshop. I lost them. And then my friend went to Taiwan in summer and found them in the exact same earrings in a random market in Taiwan. So bought them for me.
Wow.
So, but they're probably still on Topshop.
That is a really cool story. That's a fabulously cool story. I love that. And finally, if they said quarantine's over right now, what's the first thing you do? What are you dying to do?
Oh my God. I think something really simple, just like seeing my friends, going to a pub, going to a park. I think the weather being so nice in London is really hot. It's really nice, obviously, because it boosts everyone's mood, but it's also, annoying that we can't go and enjoy it.
I know. Imagine we would have all been out in the beer gardens and outside and sitting by canals and picnicking. Easter weekend, the weather was taking the piss.
Oh, yeah, that was... But that did help because it was like a reason to be happy and eat.
Yeah, at least we got to walk to, I got to walk to Primrose Hill and be in it for a little while, but then we had to come back and, you know, it was such glorious picnic weather. And
it was.
You know, we've got a little tiny bit of outdoor space. We've got a tiny terrace, but, you know, it's enough for a barbecue and a sofa. So we can get outside. We're very lucky to have that because when we moved in here, we didn't have that. We had to knock through to get that. And some people I know have got gardens and that's great. But most people I know in London don't have any outdoor space at all. You're like looking outside going, oh, it's so sunny.
I know. Oh, one thing I also wanted to mention is that I'm writing a book at the moment.
Yes, I was just going to ask you about that. Anything to plug personally? I know you're writing a book because you've asked me to contribute to it.
I know, and I'm very excited to see your answers and feature your voice. It's I was going to say, if anybody, because I'm kind of in the process of going through the final edits at the moment, so if it's kind of a very practical guide to activism with very simple steps on how, no matter where you are in the world, no matter who you are, what your gender is, what your age is, if you want to get involved in activism in a kind of micro activism in your local community or something as big as a global campaign, where to start, how to kind of go about it. A lot of the things we were talking about before in terms of like making allies, even organizing a protest or using social media, that kind of thing. That's what it's about. And I'm trying to include as much as I can from my experiences. A lot of people contact me on social media and say, how did you do it? So I've tried to include those tips in it. But also, if anyone watching this has any suggestions or questions that they want to send me on Instagram or Twitter that they think would be really helpful to know and include in the book, because it's kind of based on my experiences and the things that I wish I'd done differently or the things I would just definitely not do again. Things I would do again, like come on the Guilty Feminist, whatever people want to hear. So yeah, if anyone
that's
has
fantastic
any...
we cannot wait till that comes out, Amica George. That is a brilliant resource for everyone. I cannot believe you're writing a book while sitting finals.
Well, yeah, it's been intense. Like I've tried to balance both, but it's been a really weird,
lockdown's on the upside for you, because you imagine if you also had to celebrate with your friends, and imagine if the weather was this glorious in Cambridge and everyone was punching.
I know. The book would have been probably.
the book deadline is all down to lockdown, as far as I'm concerned. Your publishers are like, yes, she can't go outside. Listen, what's your book going to be called?
It's called Make It Happen, and it's out on the 3rd of September, I hope.
Wow.
That's the other thing. There's a lot of uncertainty. It might be predominantly an ebook, but
Make It Happen. There's a book launch and we're allowed out of the house, I will definitely be there.
Please come.
Absolutely cannot wait. Make It Happen by Amica George will be out on the 3rd of September. Can we pre-order it yet or no, not yet?
Yes, you can. You can pre-order it at the moment. And I can put the link in my social media and stuff.
If you are making a story with a swipe up, and send me the swipe up link. And I will then share it with the swipe up link. Hi, Scarlett Curtis.
Amazing. I should mention that a lot of amazing activists are featured in the book, including Scarlett Curtis, Gina Martin, fingers crossed Malala maybe might be in it. So it's not just my voice, because I think that would be quite boring.
I'm the same. I interviewed you for my book.
Yes, I did. You did. So
Amica George is in the Guilty Feminist book, and there's interviews, there's a chapter on activism in which I interviewed a lot of different activists, because I just thought that part, most of it's in my voice, but I wanted to make it more intersectional, and also I thought everyone does it a different way. So Amica features. We can all learn a lot from Amica George and her inspiration at 17 to change her patch of the world and to see it to conclusion. And now the law has changed. You and Gina Martin give me massive inspiration that we can change the legislation and that democracy still works, not as well as it should, but it can work. And we have to collectively come together and say, this is what we really, 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 really want, and you work for us. Amica, is there anything else you want to tell us before you go?
No, I don't think so. I'm so bad under pressure. I mean, Yeah, no, thank you so much for this. I mean, I think the point that you raised about social media and people only putting live streams up of them doing fun stuff is so valid. Like, I think, like I was saying, live streams have just taken over and they've been so amazing. But if you're not having a great time, it can be hard to watch people who seem to be thriving under such difficult circumstances. So, yeah, I think it's really important that you're sharing not just the good bits. So thank you.
Amica, can I just say, every day there is the lovely Hannah at the merch store, the lovely Hannah, finds something you've said, the guest has said, and makes it into an on-demand order T-shirt
that says,
stay home, the new normal, and then a quote from you and ex-Amica George. And she will find something that you've said today, but if there's anything that you would particularly like to go on the T-shirt, either you or about all the wonderful people watching. I saw that Jonquil mentioned something before. You're the period lady? Was that what you thought would be funny, Jonquil? So it could be you're the period lady, or it could be a sort of early make it buy, pre-order make it happen.
That would be good. Pre-order make it happen out in September.
Great. All right. Well, Hannah will make a choice. She'll listen to the whole thing and she might find something we haven't even thought of. So thank you so much. And if everyone would like to see the full range of T-shirts, the profit goes 100% to you, Amica, or the guest or artist who has come on the show, because we know it's very difficult for artists and activists to make a living at the moment, as we are not allowed out of the house. What's the sustainability of the T-shirts like? We have, of course, made sure that it's as sustainable as possible, and also that they're only printed on demand, so they only print one. Amazing. If someone orders one, so there's no waste, but we do all of our stuff through the merch store because they really do make sure that everything is sustainable as humanly possible. So thank you very much, and if you want to buy any of those, go to guiltyfeminist.com and look at our merch and their stay at home t-shirts. And you'll be able to see the whole range there. And if you'd like to support The Guilty Feminist, at the moment we cannot do live gigs, which is normally how we make enough money to pay our guests and make a living, because The Guilty Feminist is such a big operation now. It's sort of swept aside all the rest of my living almost, because it's all I've had time for. So if anyone would like to support with our Patreon account, that would be really, really helpful. And that's also on guiltyfeminist.com. Don't forget to pre-order Amica's book, and Amica will make stories of everything she talked about. And if you're at The Guilty Feminist, we'll share them. And if there's any swipe up links, just send me the links, Amica, and I'll make them so people can swipe up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, Amica. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for coming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.